Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Recently, I got a call from a journalist from the Catholic Herald, and they published this article for us. One of the funny things is that I saw what you had answered afterwards, and we kind of answer the same things.
It's funny how similarly we answer these questions.
We both gave praise to our producer.
That's right, Heidi.
What else? We had similar stories about the origin of the podcast.
That's right.
And then
we had a couple of maybe plans moving forward.
Yeah.
And we are similar about that. I know that was risky to answer without talking
to you.
That
I wanted
to
do a live one and that you didn't want to do it. And I think we both coincided with this. This is Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese.
And I'm Father Philip Ogacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa here in the Milwaukee area. So this weekend is the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, but February 2nd, by the way, is a Presentation of the Lord. So that's a feast in the church. And really, if you're looking broadly at the Christmas season, is the end of the Christmas season. We kind of say baptism formally, but if you still have your Christmas tree up until presentation, that's great.
I didn't put up a Christmas tree this year.
I didn't either. I've been feeling really bad about that, actually.
I don't feel bad about it. I mean, I thought if you don't put it up, you don't have to put it down. So, but we have a beautiful one in church, so hopefully that counts.
We do, and we have a nice one in the offices, and it's just in my apartment. I just ran out of time.
I love Christmas, but at the end of the season, I was a little done with the Christmas songs. You know, at some point, it begins to get a little... So I was happy with the weekend of the baptism of the Lord that we moved on.
So today is the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel once again. We're going to pick up from last week. In fact, it actually repeats kind of rarely. It repeats a line from last week, a verse. So Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. So a longer gospel, but a very beautiful one, as we're now continuing here in chapter 4.
And as you can see, it's the first time that Jesus gets in trouble.
Yeah,
people are upset with
early on.
One of the scriptural questions here is to, so if you notice the beginning of the gospel, it says that people were amazed and spoke highly of him, and then at the end they're upset. My contention is that this is a problem with the translation. I think people are upset already, as I mentioned last week. The word amazed in Greek, in the original Greek, it can be translated both ways, in a positive or in a negative way. We read last week that they were looking intently at him, and I don't know if looking at someone intently, that's necessarily a positive thing. So here, how do you explain otherwise that at the end of the gospel they're upset? I think they're upset at the beginning, and Jesus confirms the reasons why they're upset. He has dropped this line from Isaiah. It's a year of favor of the Lord, but also a year of vindication by God. Jesus decides to skip the vindication part, and then he gives examples in the Old Testament tradition of times when God had shown favor to foreigners. It says that exactly. I mean, I'm not interpreting. It's literally what the gospel says. And people in the synagogue seem not to be happy with this. Also wondering, isn't that the son of Joseph? We would expect something else from the Joseph we know.
So I see something a little different.
Okay.
I think that's an interesting thought. I see something a little different in that something unpleasant here happens. In that, first of all, Jesus here is speaking, and they're amazed at the gracious words that come from his mouth. So if you were to, let's just say, you see that as a positive. But at the end, they become angry and are ready to throw him out. I guess what I see here is sometimes you just can't win, you know, and this is Jesus who's going to be set up in these situations where, in fact, the words are right. What he's saying is truthful, but people just don't want to hear it for any number of reasons and become angry and here want to throw him out. But it's a reminder to us that sometimes you just can't win. You can say the right thing. You can say the truth and do it as best as you can, and people are going to throw you out.
So our only disagreement, and it's not an important one, as long as we agree that at the end of the gospel, it's clear that Jesus had said something that has upset the people in the synagogue, my contention would be that they are upset already, but that's fine. We agree with that, and it makes me think about something that I have reflected a lot about. As preachers, we are not in a popularity contest. But at the same time, maybe you are in a larger parish and you can afford upset people. But these days, people hear something they don't like and they leave, right? And Jesus here shows that the courage he had, and I'm not sure I have that courage.
It's funny you bring that up. I was thinking about this gospel beforehand, and in fact, that's a very important point here. What you see in Jesus' ministry, and you see it here as well, so he's thrown here out of the stone. What does he do? He just keeps on going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he keeps at it. He doesn't stop. He's not aggressive. He's not yelling at anyone or violent ever, but he just continues to move along and he doesn't stop. And yes, it's the problem for all of us. It's not, I mean, I have the same thing. You want to be liked, you know, that desire for acceptance. So Jesus here wasn't accepted. The desire for acceptance, guess what it can lead to? It can lead to selfishness. You know, that's thinking of me and my acceptance rather than the responsibility I have, maybe the job I have, or in particular, the aim and the mission I should have as a disciple to be preaching the gospel, whoever I am, not just a priest, but for everyone. But Jesus just keeps on going, and we need to do that as well. And sometimes you just can't win to win people over.
Here, the core issue in this gospel is that Jesus is showing his predilection and God's predilection for the foreigner and the stranger. Because of my accent, I feel very much supported by this gospel. You know.
Well, sure. It's a little, you need to sort of sit down and read this. It's going to be hard if you just hear this once at Sunday Mass, but that reality of Elijah and Elisha, what's going on here, but really those connections are on the outside.
Yeah.
That's the point here that Jesus is making. Those connections are to those who'd be least expected, and perhaps you could say the foreigners, those on the outside, the outsiders.
Well, we have to remember that the society at the time of Jesus is operating under a law that would call foreigners impure. If you had contact with foreigners or if you would sell produce to foreigners, you were impure and you had to go through some ritual of purification. I think that's part of the context also. I think Jesus here is telling us be open, as he will say many other times, and that human beings are human beings regardless of where they come. I think it's a beautiful message to start with.
And this is going to be part of the support for Jesus's and then Paul's and others' kind of debates about reaching the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So evangelizing and bringing Jesus Christ to those who are not already Jewish and might be of a different background, but Gentiles. But I was thinking about that and what I think is Jesus is communicating here. And just a reminder for us that as Christians, as a church, as a Catholic church, that our goal really is always to the outside. It's really very often, and I struggle with this, is as parishes are going to become too self-referential, too internally oriented. Mm-hmm. A lot of time spent on, you know, what it might be our campus or our things that are going on without really a view to the outside.
A lot of fear, and I think we have to be reminded of the courage of Jesus.
So the next incident's now in Capernaum. So now Jesus is going to move into Capernaum.
Which has been mentioned already, so it's a bit of an anachronism, if you notice.
Right.
Why don't you do here? We don't accept you, but why don't you do here what you have done in Capernaum? And we haven't seen anything in Capernaum yet. It's one of these curiosities about Luke's gospel.
Right.
Capernaum happens now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I'm going to preach about. You know, that phrase, no prophet is accepted in his own place, has become a cliche in some ways. And so I always try to not resort to that, but it's so dominant here, and it's a dominant theme in this particular gospel. So I'm not sure yet.
One possibility is to maybe to discuss together, reflect together about our role as prophets also. And a prophet, as we know, is not someone who sees the future. It's someone who sees there is a problem in the present, and then we work for a better future together. How many people we know that are very good about identifying the problem, but complaining about it is not what a prophet does. A prophet proposes a vision for the future.
Right.
And that's part of what I think could be preached this weekend, because Jesus is embracing his prophetism. And you cannot be a prophet and miss congeniality at the same time. If you are a prophet, you are going to confront people. And how do we do this in our families, in our society, in our parish, everywhere?
Say that again. A prophet and what? I didn't get that word.
You cannot be a prophet and miss congeniality at the same time. Maybe I should say...
Miss congeniality, you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think you make a good point there. You can't be both at the same time. So a lot of this is about acceptance, popularity, and boy, that's an addiction for all of us.
An older priest told me, at the same time, you have to be able to communicate things in such a way that people can hear you.
Right.
So you cannot also either be completely the prophet and saying things that scandalize people, because then they don't listen either. So it's a difficult balance. And I suppose it's not only priests preaching. I suppose in our families, how do we find ways to communicate difficult things to our children, to our spouses, to... It's difficult to be a prophet, but it's part of what I believe is going on here.
Right. Well, if you're looking for Sunday Mass this weekend, please stop on by. Of course, you can always visit us at Sacred Heart or Christ King or St. Bernard. MassTimes.org is a national site where you can find times for Masses and confessions. And then Archmill.org here in southeastern Wisconsin is the website here. Just a note, if you're in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee this weekend, when you come to Mass, you might see a video for the Catholic Stewardship Appeal as we consider just the good work that's done in the name of the church here in the area. So just a little bit of an asterisk. You might not have a full homily this weekend, but you'll see a really, really good DVD. All right. I'll see you later.
See you next week, Philip.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.